one of the most incredible experiences. I had an exhibit at the Whitney as a joke, because I put my art up outside. Because when I lived, being downtown New York and whatever, and seeing, or especially at the time when all these, when Soho was boarded up, and then seeing all these artists go out there and putting their art up. And I just, you know, I'm very private, and so I didn't dare initially to put my art up. And then I thought, why not?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. My guest this week, a terrific actress, writer, director, known her from her blockbuster X-Men films, Nip Tuck, the film series Taken, and currently stars in the film Redeeming Love, which is adapted from the book of the same name. It's really great to have you on, Famke Janssen. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you today?
I'm doing okay. So, really interesting film, and it's adapted from the book. And, you know, you're also a writer and director, and I've always been curious about adapting a book to live action. I mean, the movie is a really interesting plot, which focuses on this young girl named Angel, and who's sold into prostitution, and at a young age. It's set in the 1850s. You play the Duchess, who employs Angel, takes charge of her earnings as a child prostitute. Is it hard to adapt a book to a film? Because it feels like there's so much that you have to take into account. You can't just transcribe a book into a live-action film. And what kind of preparation do you do as an actress? Because do you read the book ahead of time, or do you want to go into it unadulterated and bring your own spin to the character?
Yeah, these are all really good questions. In this case, I did not read the book, because I thought I want to just come into this without, you know, I want to go with what's on the page in the script ultimately, and use that as my guideline. I mean, the challenges for, with book adaptations into films, and I've tried it myself over time, is, you know, a short story really lends itself very well to an adaptation to a film, because that equals about the same page count potentially as, you know, what you ultimately, in terms of how much story is there, what you can put on the page in a script, in a screenplay. But a novel, which can span anywhere from like 100 to 700 pages or whatever, you have to really list out very specific parts of a story, of multiple storylines, and only use a very small part of that, because it's too large. It encompasses too much. So these are, I find them to be, in general, they're challenging, and people who love a book may not necessarily love the movie, because it may focus on something else, or it may leave out a character, or it may leave out a storyline that they really are attached to. But so for this, to me, it was, I used the template of the script for the Duchess, just to see what was there, and how to bring her to life. And, you know, and this sort of star as like a, you know, an early entrepreneur, a female entrepreneur in 1850,
yeah.
When women didn't really run any businesses. And so not putting any moral judgment on any character that I play, really. But so I have to just go into a character like, you know, who is she? What does she do? And how did she survive in a time like that? We filmed it in South Africa, so it brought so much. Because the setting is so beautiful, and we have these costumes from the 1850s and a town that was built to resemble 1850s, you know, California. And so to come to set and to have all that given that was there already was a true gift compared to some of the movies, like the X-Men movies that I've been in, where you literally have nothing but a green screen.
And yeah.
You sort of
yeah.
have to imagine or hope that, you know, you rely on what somebody tells you might be there or not. And a very different experience. It was such an incredible experience for me because of, you know, visiting a rhino sanctuary while I was there, going to see my favorite artist, you know, William Kentridge while I was there. So there were just so many upsides to the filming in South Africa. I'm going back there again for another film next month. So it's been an incredible journey.
Was sort of the, I know you fell in love with the rhino sanctuary called Care for Wild, and I want to talk about that in a second, but was sort of that the cherry on the cake, in the sense, did you just first get attracted to this because you thought this was a strong female character that you really wanted to play, that you hadn't played? Because, you know, you played villain, as you mentioned, you played X-Men, you played villains. This is a period piece. Not sure if you've done a lot of period pieces. What was it about this that said?
No, I've never been in a period piece prior to this. I mean, I did something early on in my career. It was like on some TV show set in like 1920s, 30s, whatever. And that was really fun, but it was small. But I've always wanted to do something, you know, set in this time and these period costumes. Like I said, they bring so much. Mm. But, you know, I'm not going to lie to you. The fact that it was filming in South Africa, that William Kentridge, you know, one of my favorite artists of all time, was having two of his major exhibitions. The fact that I got to, you know, visit rhinos, his rhino sanctuary, Careful Wild, and be there in person and feed baby rhinos, all of that contributed to my decision of being part of this film.
Yeah.
So different things go into the decision making. Sometimes it's purely artistic. Sometimes it's based on a director part, other actors, whatever it is. But lately, location really does influence me, because I realized that traveling is one of the major passions I have in my life, and so are the arts, and so are animals in general, and animal rescue, you know, then particular. So this sort of had so many elements all into one. So I feel like life is all about learning and growing and through experience. And whether you do that in your own backyard, or in my case, I get to do it through, you know, so many different cultures and meeting different people in different countries. And yeah, so I feel super privileged about that.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, I know painting is a passion, and I love that during the lockdown in New York, you basically, with some other artists, you basically put your art on the boards and like boarded up places in Soho and at the Whitney, and you said, say, now you could say
how to make it.
I do some research, because I know how hard it is doing these radio tours, and I feel for you guys, and I try not to ask the same questions that you probably get asked a million times. So I feel like if you're going to give me the time, I should put the time.
You're doing, yes. Thank you so much. I'm very impressed with this.
Thanks.
I am such a private person, and I don't do social media, and I don't go out there promoting myself, and I don't have a website and all of that. People know very little about me, so this must have taken some effort on your part.
It did. I had to enroll my wife in this, because I'm like, I can't find anything about this woman. What is going on? And I'm a fan. And then I dug. Yeah, I'm saying this in a nice way.
You really did some digging, yes, because one of the most incredible experiences giving my, I sort of said to people, you know, I have an exhibit at the Whitney, or I've had an exhibit at the Whitney as a joke, because I put my art up outside. Because when I lived, being downtown New York and whatever, and seeing, or especially at the time when Soho was boarded up, and then seeing all these artists go out there and putting their art up, and I just, you know, I'm very private, and so I didn't dare initially to put my art up, and then I thought, why not? Everybody else is doing it, and it's such a hopeful message, so let me just go out there. So I started with Soho, and then I thought, I was, you know, by the Whitney, and I thought, wait, there's all these empty, you know, because everything was, you know, boarded up, obviously, and was boarded up with no art really on there. And I thought, let me just give myself an exhibition at the Whitney. It was very, very fun.
My wife has a master's in decorative arts and historic costumes and clothing from the 17th and 18th century. So she's worked in museums in New York. And when I read that, she got a big kick out of it, you know, and I thought that was great. And
Know how I do, because I put FJ on my art. I don't even put my name on it. So that's just impressive.
Well, I've been secretly stalking you for years. No, I'm just kidding. What is it about painting? It's interesting. I find a lot of artists who are not painters are drawn to painting. Musicians that I've talked to, other actors, directors. What is it about that outlet and does that sort of inform your acting and writing and directing in any way?
No, it's interesting. No, it's really interesting. I didn't have, my mom was a painter, or wanted to be a painter, you know, and then her dad basically said, oh, you can go to school for 1 year for paint, you know, for art, and then you need to do something serious with your life. I mean, she grew up in a whole different time. And And so it was a hobby of hers throughout her life before she died. And I never really spent time painting. And it was, you know, I took maybe one painting while I was at Columbia University and I was studying writing and literature. I'm going to take this art class, but, you know, I'm going to learn how to paint. And then I never really did it again until the pandemic hit. And then I was like, hey, this is really a passion and something I really enjoy doing. And so while I was, you know, and for somebody who travels as much as I do, being all of a sudden confined to my home in New York City was a real adjustment because I've just been on the road in my entire life. From the age of 18, I've traveled. And so finding that outlet through painting where, you know, you don't need other people, you don't need anything else but you and the canvas and your, and so I really started exploring it. And it's just, I'm so obsessive compulsive by nature that if it goes into the wrong places, it's very destructive. And if it goes into the right places, like painting and the arts, it's very constructive and it's very healing. And it's just, yeah. So, and it's funny when you said about your wife, it's very strange because my two inspirations are like from the 1800s, they have these, you know, illustrations of flowers and you know, flora, fauna, like all of it. And I use that a lot as inspiration. But at the same time, I'm really obsessed with science. I read up a lot about that. And the imagery of science, these black holes and all of that, lend themselves really to like an artistic expression too. So I sort of combine both in what I do, which is it's very colorful. And so it felt very hopeful to me in a time when everything was so dark, early days of, you know, we knew so little, not that we know so much now, but
right.
It was so overwhelming at the time. People were too scared to go outside and, you know, it was like everything seemed toxic and scary or whatever. Now I've overcome the fear, but it was a really cathartic and wonderful experience to have to just put all of that into painting. So.
Well, that's great. I know we have to wrap. My wife just walked in. Famke Janssen's on the phone and she said, thank you for the research because she's very private. So say hello to her.
Oh, hi, Famke. How are you?
Hi. I'm very impressed with your research skills
Such
because
very
I'm
impressed.
So private.
On my well, art, it sounds like you're up to so many wonderful it, projects. So, yeah. It's really interesting.
Well, we just, we enjoyed learning about you and I know you have to jump. And, this has been so lovely to talk to you. And well, listen, it is
lovely
just
meeting you both.
Yes, lovely meeting you. And good luck on the film. Redeeming Love is out now. Take care.
Thank you.